The gray grooved rocks and the old lighthouse atop them had served as center stage for Senator Duke Garber's most pivotal moments. So there was only one place to do what he needed to do now. He parked the old black Ford pickup in the dirt parking lot at the bottom of the rocky hill. With the sun inching above the horizon, wisps of yellow and orange streaking north and south, he'd counted on being alone. But a white station wagon sat parked at the far end of the lot. No doubt it was that of the tall woman who walked her two chocolate labs here most days. She'd often arrive later in the morning, as he was leaving. They'd share polite nods as they crossed paths. He peered up the hill toward the lighthouse. Nobody there. She must have been on the dirt path that hugged the shoreline, the same trail where he'd walked his golden retriever, Max, for years. Or, in later years, where Max had walked him. The good news was that she would recognize his car and think nothing of it. He turned off the engine, left the key in the ignition, and opened the truck door. He grunted as he lifted the heavy work boot off the floorboard and onto the rider along the truck side. He lugged his right foot over, then lowered both boots to the lot's dusty surface. Leaning against the truck, he stood upright to his full, wiry 6'2", 2 inches shorter than the peak height that had served him well, apart from his 3 years as a paratrooper in Vietnam, where his size made him a juicy target. The 3.5-liter engine went silent, and he swiveled his head. His right ear was the better one. To enjoy the full symphony of the Atlantic crashing into the craggy main coast. Above the steady breeze came the percussion. First, the thundering crash of waves against rock, then the fizz of the water receding. He opened the truck's rear driver's side door and pulled out the gray backpack. He'd bought it in nearby Bristol the day before, then filled it with gravel from his driveway in New Harbor. Every bone in his torso must have creaked as he hauled the 30 pounds onto his back and cinched 2 nylon straps tight around his shoulders. He buckled 2 more sets of straps at his sternum and waist. He trudged up the slick, striated rocks, like the rings of an ancient redwood, horizontal streaks of white, rust, black, and gray marked different minerals piling up over passing eras. Droplets of frigid ocean spray kissed his cheeks and forehead. The pungent whiff of salt water and fish wafted into his nostrils, a stench only a lifelong Mainer could love. With each labored step, memories rushed back in pinpoint detail. As a kid, playing with his 2 sisters under the watchful eye of his mother. As a teenager, making out with Maud Fletcher in his souped-up Dodge Charger, in the spot where the station wagon was now parked, exchanging vows with Kay at the very top. His own kids climbing every inch of these rocks, year after year, before they moved west. Walking with Kay, then with Max, then alone. But notable moments at Pemaquid Point spanned beyond the personal. Whenever things got tough, close elections, tough decisions, moments calling for thoughtful deliberation, the senator had paced these rocks in silence. Goosebumps pricked along his forearms as he stepped out of the glow of the rising sun into the long, cool shadow of the lighthouse. Shrouded in a similar shadow, he'd called President Bush to let him know he opposed the Iraq War. He grinned, recalling the machine gun spray of Texan profanity the commander-in-chief had fired back his way. His decision, wildly unpopular at the time, had aged far better than he had. Higher up the rocks, he passed a weather-worn cedar bench. A decade before, sitting on that bench, he'd pulled the plug on a nascent campaign for the White House. He'd second-guessed himself ever since. President Robinson had been a huge disappointment. He could have beaten her that year, and he would have done better by the country. He could have been one of the greats.